You need a lesson sheet. If you'll hold your hand up down front, we need him. Chad will grab some. I will say that in the past, I've had some sheets out there with answers already inserted up to the point where we have covered. And at this point, I guess they ran out of those, so we have their blanks, are all blanks. But I will have all the answers in the sheets available in coming weeks that you could fill in whatever you may have lost and did not get. But we are talking about the will of God in Psalm 143, verse 10. David's expression to God truly ought to be yours and mine. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You know, to acknowledge that he is your God, there should be a desire in yours and my heart to do his will. And finding not only, as we have said before, the will that is for every born-again believer. We're all to read our Bibles and pray. We're all to witness and share Jesus with others. We're all to be faithful to the house of God in our giving. We're all to do those things. But God doesn't have the exact same will and plan for every single Christian's life. It's not for everybody to be a pastor. It's not for everybody to be a missionary. But what is the perfect will of God in your life? And so this lesson has been centered around that focus, finding it. And in our notes, dropping down to Roman numeral 1, seeking his will, we've noticed three different ones. 1, 2, 3. The search, the submission, and sincerity. These are all very important. It's not good enough to just search it out, find it. But one must have a spirit of submission with sincerity that he's going to follow through with it. That pleases God. Seeking his will, wanting to know, what do you want from me in my life, Lord? And perhaps we've noted that there are some opportunities and pasts in the past where God has directed us, and maybe we didn't take the path he wanted. God is not interested in our past failures. Right. Under the blood, forgive me, Lord, for where I've messed up, where I did what I shouldn't do, or I didn't do what I should do. That's in the past. What he's interested in is from here on out. What is the perfect will of God for you? With optimism. The devil will have you look at the past and say, see, you should have done this, you should have done that, you shouldn't have done this. Our God says, look, let me show you what opportunities lie ahead of you. And here's a specific path I'd like for you. It's exciting to know the will of God from here on out. Because the time's short. So the search, submission, sincerity. And we noted a couple of steps, Roman numeral 2, 1 and 2, the presentation, the transformation. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. Transform me, Lord. Get my mind in the right focus as yours is, that I might do your perfect will. So presentation, a sacrifice, your bodies, a living sacrifice, and sacrifices are totality. See? It's not an offering. It's everything. See? And so we talked about that. And then on the third page, Roman numeral 3, we shared a few of the stumbling blocks why Christians have trouble finding or following through when they know the perfect will of God. Stumbling blocks to his will. And we noted 1, 2, 3, selfishness, sensuality, stubbornness. Now, there's others, no doubt, but these stand out. These you may have experienced in your past. One or more of these were in play. And they kept you from following through with the perfect will of God for your life. But again, past. We have what's before us and the excitement of finding it and doing it. So selfishness, we noted Solomon, how that he was, he tried everything in this world. It was all about pleasing him and pleasures. And his ultimate assessment was vanity, emptiness, vexation of spirit, no peace. That's a good, accurate picture of the born-again believer outside of the known will of God, see? And sensuality, Samson, and how many a woman drew him away from God, particularly Delilah led to his ultimate downfall. But sensuality, you know, the flesh, very, very strong. We're to flee youthful lust, the Bible says. We're warned against it. And boy, that has kept more people out of the known will of God, following through with the known will of God, because they got so distracted. And then the stubbornness. We talked about Cain and Jonah. Cain was taught what offering should be given. He didn't. God reminded him, and he just stayed with his stuff. We're going to do the same thing. And it led to his envy for his brother to the point of murder. And Jonah, told to go preach the gospel, you know. He hated those people, so he didn't want to go. Went the other direction. Well, God took him through Whale University, and then he did go. And then he was angry that he went afterwards, you know. And so this is a stubbornness. May we not be stubborn to the will of God. May we not be distracted by sensuality or by seeking of pleasures in life, that is my primary goal. My primary goal in life, to own a house on the lake with a big boat. These are distracting. It's not wrong to have those things. And God blessed you if you do have those things. But they never keep us from following the perfect will of God. And then of a truth, we came to the last section here. Suffering because of the will of God. You mean it's in the will of God that I would suffer? You know, it is. There are times when God calls us to suffer. The joy times far outweigh any sufferings. But God has purposes and plans for any type of suffering that we go through. Physical, emotional, whatever. This, and we began to look at this last week, and we noted a couple of people. And I should note under Roman numeral 4, number 1, many say no to the will of God because they fear suffering, you see. I'm pretty sure, with the world as big as it is, that God had called or put a calling on many more people, born-again believers, to be missionaries than have answered that call. That we might have reached many more people. But because of the fear of what they would experience, the hardships of what they would go through, they determined not to. They said no. See? Maybe it's you. Maybe that was you. May I say, ask God to forgive you and put it under the blood. And don't focus on that, but focus on the future. God has a wonderful plan, even from here on. You mean God has plan B? God has plan B, C, D, E, F, G. You cannot end up with God, oh, gee, what will I do now? That's not our God. And what's a wonderful God, his patience and his mercy, that in spite of our wrong answers, he will pick us back up and dust us off, hug on us, and then show us what lies in the future, how his plans are, that we are included in his plans to be used here and whatnot in this person's life, that these people's lives, these little people's lives. You know, Vacation Bible School, those kids, they absolutely love it. We teach them Bible. They learn lessons from the Bible. They're excited and taught a zeal and excitement about God and the things of God. There's all kinds of games and snacks and crafts and stuff that makes it fun. The association of God and enjoying being in the will of God, you see, starting at an early age. And many of you have a part in this program, already have. A lot of preparation, a lot of hours went into the preparations. We're really thankful for everybody involved. But yes, being in the will of God can bring some suffering. We talked about Noah, and we talked about Abraham. Noah had to endure presumed scoffing for 120 years as he built a boat far away from any water, and a boat that was humongous, the ark. And all that he experienced, and not to mention how many times he must have hit his thumb with the hammer in building this boat, I'm facetious. But he had to put a lot of work in there, 120 years. And God blessed him, saved him and his family. And then it was Abraham called to give up his son, his only son, son of promise, not the son out of flesh. And he fought, was following through. The angel stopped him, stayed him. God blessed him and has blessed us through Abraham. Isaac, and so on and so forth. But I think it's important, and that's why I have several here listed, to note that it wasn't just one or two. No, many have suffered. But do not ever let that be a hindrance to you, because in the end, every one of these gets blessed. Is used of God, and their rewards are eternal in heaven. So let's look at a few more. Number three, I want to look at Joseph. Joseph. Now here's a prime example of suffering in the will of God, though he was in the will of God and doing right. And that's tough. Why would God allow him to suffer? He was doing good. I can understand if God lets somebody else suffer and they're not doing good. But here we have Joseph. And Joseph's story is covered in Genesis 37 through 50. But notice, A, God's will included a plan for his life. That plan ultimately provided for the nation, the peoples of Israel, to maintain, to live, though there was a great famine in the land. 70 souls of that family were preserved because one man's obedience to the will of God. And we won't take time to go into that history, but notice B, being in God's will included desertion for Joseph, slavery, and prison. Look at chapter 37 of Genesis and verse 18. Here we have recorded by God's will how that he was deserted by his own family. His own brethren, verse 18 is noted here. 17 ends after his brethren and found him in Dothan. And when they saw him, the brethren, his brothers afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him, his own brother. You know what? You could be in the will of God and there'll be those behind the scenes wanting your downfall. Could be some of the suffering you experience. Maybe it is from family. I don't think that they would conspire to kill you. But many a believer, many of you here could stand up and give testimony that you experience such negativism and perhaps even somewhat persecution from your own family because you trusted Christ as Savior and you read your Bible and you're going to that church and what's wrong with you and that's a cult and all the things that people can throw at you, you know. But they probably didn't want to kill you. But they did Joseph. His own brothers wanted to slay him. And then look down to verse 28 of Genesis 37. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph up out of the pit, that's his brothers, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. How symbolic, prophetic, of the 30 pieces of silver that Judas Iscariot would receive in betraying Jesus. There are 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt to be a slave. So they conspired to kill him. They sold him to be a slave. In chapter 39, verse 20, notice that even when he had been blessed in the home as a slave, a servant to Potiphar, Potiphar's wife raised sinful accusation, untruthful accusation against him. Verse 20, and Joseph's master, Potiphar, took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. I would say that Joseph suffered. He suffered. You know how long he spent in that prison? 2 years. 2 years. Was it the will of God that he would be in that dark, dank prison for 2 years? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Suffering can be part of the Christian's life, but there's always blessings. Notice, see, his spirit of obedience was blessed by the Lord. And back at 39, notice 2-4, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Why? Because God blessed him, speaking of Potiphar. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. See, God's hand was upon Joseph because he was in the will of God, though having experienced suffering and more to come. And Joseph, verse 4, found grace in his sight, and he served, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. He was brought up to a high position and blessed of God. Why? Because he served in the will of God. Verse 20, same chapter. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph while he was in the will of God. And he maintained a proper spirit through all of the suffering and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Who gave him favor? God gave Joseph favor in the eyes of the jailer, of the prison keeper. See? God blessed Joseph every step of the way. And the expectation for the born-again believer who chooses to do the will of God, come what may, is God's blessings. They'll come upon you. What a wonderful thing. And he gave favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. He's the top dog in there. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because that the Lord was with him, Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So we see the blessings of God's hand upon him. Chapter 41, notice 39 through 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, this is down the road, this is more years later. Pharaoh, we're not talking about Potiphar, we're talking about who Potiphar worked for. And by the way, who everyone worked for, Pharaoh himself. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, that he would even know him and call his name, see? For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou art, excuse me, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. That is an amazing thing. What if Joseph had said no? What if Joseph's response to his brothers, Potiphar, the prison keeper, what if his attitude was nasty and did not want to be in the will of God? He never would have experienced the wonderful blessings of God. And as we said, that his family was saved because of him and the power and the authority that God had allowed him to acquire through Pharaoh. It's an amazing thing. Suffering, yeah. Blessings. God, being part of God's plan. Be willing, be willing. We're number four. Here we have another one. Look at Hebrews 11, and we'll talk about Moses. Moses. Well, Moses had an experience with Egypt as well, much later. And in Hebrews chapter 11, often referred to as the Hall of Faith, because each verse almost begins with, by faith this person, by faith that person, did this, did that, whatever. But Moses, Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 27, notice what it says, by faith Moses, so again, faith, and I guess there is no getting around that element. If you're going to be in the will of God and you choose it, you had to employ faith. You had to say, I believe you, to God. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had it made. He had it made in that country. Choosing rather to what? Suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew God was faithful. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, of Pharaoh himself. For he endured, that means he persevered, as seeing him who is invisible. God, a spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't see God, but we have faith in our God. And God has given us his written word. And we're to believe and to follow. Notice in the notes under Moses, A, he was willing to obey God's will, even though it meant personal sacrifice. And we saw that in the last part of B, when it says, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, all the pleasures and delights to be in Pharaoh's house and the authority he enjoyed. But rather than that, he chose to be in the will of God, you see. And then notice B, he was willing even though it meant suffering. And we talked about that in the first part of A, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Choosing rather. I could go the easy route, the fun route, the enjoyable route, but I know the will of God. And the will of God says, do this. And the Bible gives testimony that he chose that. See? When it comes to the known will of God, there's always this matter of faith and then choosing. Choosing to do it. And, of course, we've noted several have problem with that over the course of their lives. Number five, we'll talk about Daniel. And, of course, this refers back into the book of Daniel. Take a moment to note this. In Daniel chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this was a new law that was enacted that said you couldn't pray so many days. Well, he had always prayed. And he was going to stop praying to God, which was the known will of God. It is the will of God that people pray. He wasn't going to not pray, and he wasn't going to hide that he was praying. The Bible says, now the new rule, the law was citing, the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now, you stop there, you're thinking, he's just going to make a public show. He's just going to make a public spectacle. This is for notoriety's sake. No, look at the next phrase of that verse. It says, as he did aforetime, this is what he always did. And just because that a law was enacted that could mean his death, his demise, it was not going to change him from honoring and praying to his God, you see. He was in the will of God on his knees. But notice number five. He learned obedience to God's will when he was young. Oh, I want to go to 16 first. Pardon me. We're at Daniel 6. We read verse 10. Let's drop down to 16 through 22 noted here. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now, the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thy service continually, he will deliver thee. The king was in his favor, but he had said something. He went beyond, he should have thought before he signed that piece of paper. 17, and a stone was brought, laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. He was condemned. 18, then the king went to his palace and passed a night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So he was intent and loved Daniel and wanted and prayed to God that Daniel's life would be spared. Notice verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake unto and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, testimony of his position, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. By the way, got any breakfast? My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I've been in the will of God, the perfect will of God, and God protected him. But he didn't protect him from the fear of death, because he was cast into that den of lions. Things can be a little hairy sometimes when you're in the will of God. But take courage. Hold fast. Find the will of God and just do it. God will, you know, I say God will protect you. Yes, he protects. Well, how come he allows certain things to happen? Whatever he allows, it's only temporary. Far better to be in the perfect will of God than to say no for various reasons. But be sure that suffering, God is in charge. In Daniel chapter 1, we noted there in that phrase that when he was young, he was living in the will of God. It was in his mind. It was purpose in his heart. In Daniel 1:8, but God, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Israel was not supposed to eat that stuff of the Gentiles, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That was way back then. He purposed in his heart. He determined, I am going to be in the will of God. What great encouragement and instruction for you and I to take the same stand. Purpose in your heart. I'm going to be in the will of God. Things may get a little dicey. I'm going to be in the will of God. I'm going to choose aforehand, before that happens, before I come to that point of decision making, before that the devil throws all these things in front of me to get me to say no to the will of God. I'm purposing my heart before I even get there. I'm going to stay in the will of God. Come what may, come what may, because I'm going to please him. What a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. And we're in the book of Daniel, so it follows suit number 6 to put the three Hebrew children. Their story in chapter 3, notice quickly, in A, they were willing even though it meant death in a fiery furnace. And of course, that's noted in verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And B, but God was with him through it all. Look at verse 25. That's a remarkable verse. So they are cast in, they're bound. They're bound and they're cast into this fiery furnace, heated up 7 times hotter. Verse 25, and he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, the king said, walking in the midst of the fire. Well, only 3 were cast in. And by the way, the 3 that were cast in were bound. How come they're up walking? There are 4 in the midst, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. What's that there for? Why God have that recorded? It occurred, but he wanted to record it for you and I. I'll be with you. Maybe I will allow suffering. Maybe emotionally you're going to go through it. Maybe physically you're going to go through it. But I'm with you. Choose my will, and I will bless you. I'll take care of you. Acts chapter 16, we have a story of a couple others, though many in the New Testament. Many martyrs in the New Testament. But Acts chapter 16, we have the story of Paul and Silas. Notice, A, they obeyed and were whipped and jailed. What were they doing? Well, they were preaching the gospel. That was in the will of God. B, in spite of pain and being in stocks, they sang. They sang praises, knowing that they were in the will of God. In Acts 16, verse 23, the Bible says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, whoosh, whoosh, splitting the skin, blood, pain, nerves, writhing, putting stocks, many stripes upon them. They cast them into prison, charging a jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks, chained to the wall. And at midnight, Paul and Silas began to cry. The Bible says they began to pray. They prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Ultimately, we know that the jailer got saved and his family. Being in the will of God, it affects you, affects others. A couple more quickly. And number 8, Stephen. Stephen, Acts 6 and 7. Here we have, notice A, his testimony was in the will of God. Notice in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 5, speak of Stephen and his reputation, his testimony. It says, I got to get there. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report. He was honest, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They were naming deacons. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and so other fellows were selected. And notice B in the notes, he served in the will of God. Verse 8, same chapter, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people, serving in the will of God. Verse 10, still Acts 6, verse 10. The Bible says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. This is a testimony of Stephen. And I can tell you that the chapter, Acts chapter 7, records the preaching, the powerful preaching and teaching that Stephen did in the will of God. And what did it result in? Well, it resulted in some suffering. Notice, see, he suffered in the will of God. Verse 54, when they heard these things, this is after all his preaching and teaching, they were cut to the heart. You know what that means? They were deeply affected. We would call that conviction. What'd they do? It says, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And then dropped down to 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Ultimately, we knew him as Paul. Suffered. He suffered greatly in the will of God. Notice, though, D, he was victorious. Well, that doesn't sound like too victorious to me. He's lying among stones, stones on him and under him and full of blood. How could you call that victorious? Well, notice verses 55 and 56. The Bible says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Notice verse 59. And they stoned Stephen. What was he doing? Calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I'm ready. Come and give me. Verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. Don't charge them with it. Forgive them, Father, for what they're doing. There's a man that was in the will of God. You see, did he suffer? Yeah, ultimately. First recorded martyr of the New Testament. Stephen, good man, of honest report, served, was in the will of God. And yet God allowed that in his life. And many will say, well, don't count me in then. Many a believer will say, well, what's plan B? Not too thrilled about that one either. How about plan C? We should always seek the perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. And so what's number nine? Who's number nine? It's Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Always in the will of the Father. Our example. Always in the will of the Father. Did it mean suffering? Absolutely. Notice A, he always served in the will of the Father. And of course, John 8:29, paraphrase says, I do always those things that please the Father. I do always those things. You see? B, sometimes it is a struggle to follow the will of God. Mark 14, I think it's worthy of noting that particular verse here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark 14, notice verse 36. And he said, that's Jesus, he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. A struggle in his humanity. And I'm not saying it's an easy thing to choose that I'm going to be in full-time ministry, or I'm going to be a missionary, or I'm going to do this or that as a layman in my life. That's going to be tough. I'm not saying that there's no struggle, because the Bible records here in Jesus' humanity there was a struggle. He says, take away this cup from me. Another way, not the crucifixion. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Jesus' assessment. I'm going to please you. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. In his humanity. That's why that was recorded there. See, it's not a sin to struggle. I remember, for even in my life, there was a period of struggle, trying to discern, is this the perfect will of God? It made a major change in my life, in the life of my wife and family. It was a struggle, but I believe it was the will of God. You know? Praise God. Notice, see, the Father's will included the crucifixion because of his love for us. John 3:16. God so loved the world. That's why it was the will of the Father that Jesus experienced the agony of the crucifixion. It's for you and I, the world, sinners. Notice number 10, godly suffering will yield victory. 1 Peter 4, we'll close with this today. So no, we didn't finish, but I'm pretty confident we'll finish next time. Hang with us. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning of verse 12. What insight the Holy Spirit gives to Peter here for us. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not a strange thing. It's not out of the ordinary. It's in the will of God. It'll come. It'll happen. Verse 13, but rejoice, like Stephen. Rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. He suffered, being our master. Should we not be willing? That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. What a wonderful thing. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Don't experience suffering because of sin. The consequences, you deserve them. 16, yet if any man suffers a Christian, that means in the will of God, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. That's what Stephen did. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, 19, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Submit to him. Don't let the fear of suffering keep you from saying, I'm going to do the will of God. Present your bodies. Presentation, transformation through the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to be in that place where you acknowledge him as a faithful creator. Come what may, in all of these lives, we reviewed quite a few. And we see God's hand upon each and every one. May God bless you and me in our efforts to seek the will of God and to follow through and do them. Now, we've got some closing thoughts we'll share next week because I think it's important. I don't want to skip over them. So God bless you. We'll see you at 11.